Investing just got $8.5 billion more politicized. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Texas is voting with its dollars, pulling $8.5 billion from the country's biggest asset manager, BlackRock. Why? Well, the state school fund says BlackRock is hostile to the fossil fuel industry, something BlackRock denies. This is ultimately a fight over what's called ESG investing. That's where environmental, social, corporate governance issues factor into investment decision making. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Tom Maynard, the chair of the Texas Permanent Fund Corporation, in a statement criticized companies he says are, quote, pushing anti-Texas policies and woke indoctrination. The fund is pulling $8.5 billion in assets under management at BlackRock. Those assets were being put to work to fund Texas's school system. But the Texas Fund is not just pointing to ESG as the reason for its move, saying it's also reducing exposure to foreign markets in which BlackRock was providing investment management services. BlackRock doesn't appear to be buying that argument. It criticized the decision, saying it ignored the company's $120 billion investment in Texas's energy sector. The $8.5 billion being pulled is a tiny portion of the trillions under management at BlackRock. Still, it is double what CEO Larry Fink last year said the company had lost due to political backlash over ESG investing. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The Commerce Department announced this morning it plans to give up to $8.5 billion to Intel. This is CHIPS Act funding, the idea being to strengthen the U.S. semiconductor supply chain, make more of those advanced chips here in the U.S. Intel, the department said, plans to invest more than $100 billion over the next 5 years in semiconductor manufacturing in the U.S. Intel stock is up 3% in pre-market trading. Nova was talking earlier about tensions between Texas and BlackRock over environmentally conscious investing. Well, a new research paper makes the case that big investment firms should be thinking about investing in climate resilience, not because it's good for the planet, but because it will make money. The report argues companies with climate solutions are good bets for big-time institutional investment like pension funds and 401k retirement plans. Jay Coe is managing director of Lightsmith Group, a climate-focused private equity firm that provided data and analysis for this report. He talked with my colleague David Brancaccio.
The paper argues that investing in climate solutions is not, oh so, 2018, back before social investing got repoliticized, but that there are possible returns for climate-aware investing that should what, now be attractive to the biggest, most sophisticated investment firms?
Yeah, the paper says climate resilience is an investment opportunity, a growth investment theme, if you will, that's equivalent to or and even intertwined with the decarbonization investments that you see happening all around us. Fundamentally, climate impacts are now inevitable to some degree, until 2030 at least, and therefore there's an opportunity to invest in technologies and solutions that help us understand those impacts and help us to manage and even transcend them.
What do institutional investors, I mean, this could be an entire country's sovereign wealth fund or a union's pension or a state employee retirement fund. What do they look for when evaluating investments?
One of the things that's very important is not only the macro trend of is climate change happening or not and do we need solutions or not, but is it investable? And this is a paper that answers that question, I think, for the first time.
Let me understand this better. At a time that an investment company like BlackRock, while it's sticking with its environmental social government type strategies, it's now going to shy away from using the term ESG because the BlackRock CEO thinks the term has been, in his words, weaponized politically. You're saying all that aside, your research says there are potential returns there that are investable. Companies are doing this already if you want to be a part of it.
Yeah, one way of thinking about it is your understanding of climate change may be higher than almost any other set of investment factors you're thinking about. So I don't know what's going to happen with interest rates or inflation or consumer behavior. But between now and 2030, I have a pretty high conviction, and so does the science, that climate change will continue to unfold. And at that rate, there will be increasing demand for technologies and solutions that help us understand everything from how much wildfire risk we're going to have to what kind of respiratory impact that will have as a result, and where we should be thinking about the supply chain being disrupted, food being produced, water being generated, and even our housing being valued going forward. Most of the companies, it's important to say, today wouldn't call what they do, you know, climate change anything, but they have technologies that help us understand how risks are changing.
I mean, you'd think that the companies involved would tout the climate benefits. It's interesting that you have to essentially uncover them, do some digging.
Yeah, I think right now most companies are just beginning to become aware of the fact that their solutions and technologies can be described as supporting resilience, if you will, or climate adaptation. Most of them consider what they do simply to be risk management. How do I manage my supply chain better? And then how do I start to do that when I now see fires across the Pacific Northwest, or, you know, even the Texas freeze? I think, you know, probably within 5 to 10 years, people will describe what they do as managing, you know, climate-related risks in the same way they manage all kinds of other risks.
Jay Coe, Managing Director of Lightsmith Group, a climate-focused private equity firm. Mr. Coe, thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was my Marketplace colleague, David Brancaccio, speaking with Jay Coe, Managing Director of Lightsmith Group. If you miss us on the air, you can always find us on podcast. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.